This is the last golf tournament of yours I won't be playing in, Boomer, so make sure that you enjoy this one. I'll be there next year. I'm going to practice for an entire year, and I will get there, and I will not embarrass myself next year, but it's always a fun event over there. It's run spectacularly, so I'm excited that you have another year there. You weren't able to do this last year, or did you do it last year?
No, we did it last year. We moved it to September. That's why we're doing it in September this year. It worked out so well last year. You know, we've been doing this, I want to say this is probably our 26th or 27th year of doing it.
Nice.
And
beautiful day.
What's that?
Got a beautiful day.
Yeah, we got a beautiful day, beautiful golf course. You know, amazing thing is, all the people that come here, there's probably about 75% of the people have been with us almost all of that time. And it's not just the people who pay to play in the golf tournament to help us raise the money, but it's all of our supporters and sponsors. I see you're wearing our Casamigos t-shirts that Lee sent us this weekend. And, you know, certainly they have become on board as a big sponsor for us, as Breitling has been with us since the beginning. Probably the longest tenured company to be with me since the beginning is the Breitling Watch Company. They have been with me since almost a week after Gunnar's initial diagnosis back in 1993. And they have never missed an event. They've always been here. You know, we've all gone through tough times over the last year and a half in the pandemic and everything, but they've always made space for us. And it's something that I really, really, truly appreciate. And can't say enough about all the volunteers that come out and help me today. And we'll probably have about 50 volunteers out here, led by my man, Elliot Fleischacker. So it's all good. And it's a wonderful day. And hopefully we'll raise a lot of money.
I know from the Fleischackers.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, that's right. Great people. Let's go to John in Staten Island.
It takes a while to get delivered.
What's up, John? Good morning.
Oh, good morning, fellas.
Oh, God, with the phones. Ah! I don't know if that's us or John's problem, but, like, how long has this phone thing gone on? Now, I was, like, thinking today's like a reaction day, so maybe like working in a phone call or two would be okay. If it was like a Tuesday or Wednesday, I wouldn't even try. Those people are freaking out over their teams. How long has this phone thing gone on for? This has been like since like Friday or Saturday, right?
I think since Friday night.
Yeah, since Friday night. And they can't get the thing figured out.
All right, well, you know, we're a communication company. We need to communicate. And I will say I was listening to Evan a little bit on Saturday.
He didn't have phones that day either, did he?
No, they didn't have phones either. But what they were doing, they were taking questions on Twitter. Danielle McCartan was doing the same thing.
No, I'm not taking questions on Twitter.
I know that, but that's how they were communicating with their audiences.
Why are you so fat?
And by the way, so I finally saw Evan stand up, and I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, he got up there. He had made fun of me and my experience. He actually, you know what's funny about that? So he called to make sure that I was going to be okay. He called
me. What do
you
mean that you're going to be okay?
He goes, I tell you, we're playing this joke, and I was told to call you to let you give you a heads up. And I said, Evan, are you kidding me? I said, to give me a heads up on your joke? I said, all I do is sit here in this chair with my fat ass and shoot flames at everybody.
Right, exactly.
I said, I've made fun of you a tremendous amount of times. I said, you had a nice joke. It was a well-crafted joke. I thought you did a nice job. I said, what the hell are you calling me for? He goes, I was told. I said, he goes, I know that.
Well, who told them? Who told them to call you?
You want to take a guess?
You know who told them to call you?
I do, yeah. Yeah.
All right, so it was either Captain Chaos, Chris Oliveira, or Spike.
You're right. It was one of those three.
Okay. I'm going to say Spike's not been around long enough to understand the dynamics, so it was either Captain Chaos or Chris Oliveira.
No, your logic was right. You should have gone with Spike, because Spike hasn't been around long enough to know that Evan's going to bust my balls, I'm going to bust his balls, and we worked together all those years.
He busted your balls.
Yeah, I guess, but I mean, it was not an issue.
Who was it? It was Spike.
I told you it was Spike, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was Spike, but yeah.
I kind of agree a little bit with Al. It was a little hard, you know, listening to Evan and about his sex life.
Right.
Al felt very uncomfortable about that. But then when you listen to Jerry and Al talking on their podcast or their pregame warm-up, they come up with a lot of awkward topics that when I hear them, I cringe because it's Al.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something about Evan, though, that I still think he's a child. And that's why when he talks about sex, it makes me uncomfortable.
Like,
that's
the
thing.
He looks like a grown man.
That, and he says the word
baby and referring to his wife.
Yeah, hey, baby.
Oh, it feels so weird.
Yeah, hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
Yeah, baby, baby.
She started talking about Jacob deGrom, and he got really excited.
Pathetic.
I mean, but that's kind of like what we said, right? Didn't we say it was going to be something along those lines?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And he did it.
And
I will
it
say, man,
perfect for their audience.
Without a doubt. And I will say it takes a lot of guts to go up there and do that because it's different than a radio show, going up there and doing stand up in front of everybody. So I thought he did a nice job. And Spike, you better call him, make sure he's okay with you playing. Come on, Spike. Me and Evan have been busting each other's balls since 2006. Let's go to John in Staten Island again, see if this actually works. What's up, John?
What's going on?
All right, go for it, man.
I want to go, Boomer, specifically with you guys. Like, last week we ran a lot of RPOs and we ran quarterback design runs and stuff like that with Daniel Jones. And obviously he was explosive. He even had a touchdown callback. This week there was no design runs. There was no RPOs. And it's just like the inconsistency with the offense is what's frustrating to a lot of Giants fans. And it's just like Jason Garrett already came over here with a bad rap coming from the Cowboys. And it's just like, to me, it's like, you don't stick to what's working. Like, we threw a long pass in the beginning of the game to C.J. Boyd, I believe, and then we don't throw another long ball again. It's just, like, it's very inconsistent, and the things that we do good, he doesn't stick to, and it's just very frustrating. So as a Giants fan, like, yeah, we're all upset and stuff like that, and if Jason Garrett got fired, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not necessarily calling for it, but it's just, like, the Giants are just very frustrating, and it's just, like, it's been like this for too long, and, you know, it's been like, oh, wait, we're going to build. The gentleman's been building the offensive line for 4 or 5 years now. It's just like, I'm just over it already. It's just like Al says, boring. You know,
it's true.
That's right, John.
And they're in a really dangerous place right now because their quarterback's in his third year. He's got to be the guy that we saw last week in Washington, and he's got to do that every week. You know, even Tom Brady yesterday, they lost, but he still played great. I mean, you know, he still put points up on the board. It wasn't an easy game by any stretch, and they knew going into it was not going to be easy. But they put points on the board, and due in large part because of the way that he plays quarterback. I you know, this is, to me, it's just.
You know, there's a guy.
I don't know why he didn't run more yesterday. It may have been, they may have felt, look, on the outside of the Falcons defense, they are pretty quick. They are pretty fast. There is no question about that. But. I don't know. It looked a little bit different to me. And, without watching the tape closely enough, knowing what he's looking at and how he's responding and whether or not he's changing plays at the line of scrimmage, I can't just blame the coach. I gotta say it's got to be more on the player's got to bring more energy every single game. He just has to.
So this is something that you taught me, Boomer, as I was a very reactionary, crazed fan who would yell for firings midseason, and then I said I'm not going to do that anymore. You got to look at the coaching staff. And is there anybody there that could take over? Because you're not going to go to the outside of the organization to bring somebody in. And of course there is. And I don't know why I forgot about this man, but he is there. What if I told you, Boomer, that there's a man on this coaching staff who not only was an offensive coordinator, but was so good at being an offensive coordinator that he got elevated to head coach. And he is on this staff right now. Primed and ready to take over for Jason Garrett. What would you tell me?
Who is it?
You don't remember, do you? You don't remember?
No.
Freddie Kitchens! Freddie Kitchens! Elevate him! Elevate Kitchens! Bring him in! What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
You seem underwhelmed about Freddie Kitchens taking over.
Yeah, well, you know, for some reason, he and Baker Mayfield did have success together. There's no question about that.
But then he got canned, sacked, as they say, right after that first season.
Yeah,
so.
Some guys are better coordinators than they are head coaches, and other guys are better head coaches than they are coordinators, you know, or even coaches in general. Some guys are better at, the organizational skills to put a team and a coaching staff together. Other guys are better than... You know, on game day, are better just calling plays and not having to worry about, you know, the entire team. So finding that right guy is the key for every team. And I don't know, maybe Freddie Kitchens would be a breath of fresh air. I don't know. He may be a little bit more aggressive than Jason Barrett. Yeah, that's the thing. And only they know that internally. And again, like, I'm not sitting here calling for Jason Garrett's job.
But if it were to happen, it wouldn't be a shock. And there's someone on the staff that could take over.
But I know that the owner got booed yesterday.
Yeah, and he kicked some garbage cans.
And they lost another home game.
Kicked some damn garbage cans.
And you just heard that last caller. All the Giant fans are saying the damn thing. When I go out there today and go play golf with all these, you know, athletic fans or, you know, professional football fans out here, half of them are going to be Giant fans and are all going to be disgusted.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's, and they were, you need to look no further than MetLife Stadium yesterday when you have Evan Engram dropping a pass, boo. John Mara, boo. John Mara, garbage cans down. You know, everybody, and by the way, it wasn't the Giants postgame that Carl Banks was ripping Saquon Barkley and the team. So, I mean, it's like everybody feels the same way, especially in this season where they were supposed to compete for the division, and right now it is over.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
You know, someone tweeted us this, Jerry, and you responded to the guy, and I did see this, but I didn't think much of it because of what I had heard earlier, which is what you responded to this guy. So let me explain this. Michael Strahan on the pregame show was gushing about Eli Manning.
Yeah.
Loved Eli, couldn't have said enough stuff about him. Then they put him on the broadcast during the game, and he said something that was like, huh? And that line was, if it weren't for two plays, someone else would be wearing number 10. And I thought about it, and I was like, it just didn't come out right,
that's
I
interesting.
Guess. But is that like a...
That doesn't sound great. I mean, I saw him on Fox. I saw it at halftime, not at the pregame.
Yeah.
And I thought he was over the top, gushing about him, how he came up so clutch and big spots and always got it done, and we had the utmost confidence in him. I was like, all right, let's relax. And now that doesn't sound great.
Yeah, it almost seemed like he was tired of talking about Eli. Like they put him on again, and it was like, all right, enough of this. And he goes, yeah, you know, I would have been there, but you know, I got my responsibilities at Fox or whatever. So I mean, you know, and if it wasn't for two plays, someone else would be wearing number 10. I was like, geez,
Jesus,
interesting.
He might not be wrong either, but that's tough to say.
No. He played unbelievably in a lot of those road playoff games that we have gone down a million times already.
Sure, but if he didn't win, I mean, Kerry Collins took him to a Super Bowl.
True. Kerry didn't play like Eli did in the Super Bowl, that's for sure. And Eli came up big when they needed it most.
No
doubt.
He didn't
score a lot of points, we know that. But when he needed a big play, I mean, my God, the play to Tyree was ridiculous. Both ends of it.
But that's what we're talking about. Like, I think that was his point. If he don't make those, get out of that sack and make the throw and the pass to Manningham, and they don't win, let's say they don't win either of those two.
They did. You can't say that.
I'm not saying negative
hypotheticals. We can go ahead with.
But I wasn't.
You know, we could say, hey, boom, if your team won the Super Bowl, what would have it been like for you? Then we can do that, but we can't go back and say they didn't win.
Right, but I'm sure Collinsworth at some point would have said, damn, if we would have stopped the Niners, you know, people look at Boomer. We're just reacting to what Strahan said. I'm not arguing with you.
All right. Well, why don't we do the update, and we'll get moment of the day and then give away these Giants tickets with the Turning Point contest. What do you got, Jerry?
Powered by Superbook, now open with better odds and favorable prices. We're also brought to you by Winters Brothers Waste Systems, Long Island's number one choice for all your waste collection and recycling needs. Visit WintersBROS.com. All right. Some of the reaction from the losses yesterday. The Giants lose to the Falcons at home. They're 0-3. Here's Joe Judge. Says, all right, we lost, but, you know, you look at the other side. Those guys getting paid, too.
First off, you know, we got to give credit to the Falcons. They played a good game, and they played down a stretch where it counted.
Okay.
You know, I was pleased with a lot of things our team did today, but ultimately we didn't finish.
No, they didn't score enough points. It's got to be disappointing, right?
But look, obviously, you prepare every week to have success.
Okay.
Okay. You come out of any game without success, okay, and there's things that you're, you know, obviously, you know, not happy about.
Yes, that sounds about right. Here was Daniel Jones inside the locker room. What's it like?
Guys are frustrated and certainly disappointed with the results.
Because they haven't gotten any. They haven't won a game yet this year through three. Saquon Barkley knows close is not good enough.
We keep saying it. We're this close. We're this close. But somebody got to do something about it. And that got to be myself and, you know, the leaders on this team.
Yeah. Here's Logan Ryan. We'll be all right.
I don't lose hope because I go to work regardless. I go to work every day. We put the work in. You lose by a field goal. Oh, man, the season's over. You lose by a field goal. Oh, man, the season's over. That's just not the case.
Back-to-back games, they lost by a field goal late in the final play. Now, here was Carl Banks in the postgame show. He was talking about how at one point this morning, Boomer, you referenced Al's point about, you know, taking the field goal, settling for field goals, and here he was embarrassing how they have pretty much gone the wrong way when they get in close.
You have a comedy of errors. You know, you start off on the 8-yard line, and you go backwards into a field goal. You start one on the 30, I believe. Your quarterback takes his eyes off the ball, ball goes through his hands.
Might as well be a sack.
Might as well be basically a self-sack.
A self-sack. He says this is just not good.
There's some flashes of things, but there's not enough put together to say they're playing good football. This is not winning football. This is finding ways to lose every week, finding plays, losing plays every week.
And it's boring. So,
yeah, this is horribly boring.
He didn't hold back, that's for sure. That was on the postgame show on the Giants radio network. Giants-Saints in New Orleans on Sunday. As for the Jets and their 0-3 start, they got blasted by the Broncos. Rob Saleh knows they're not doing enough.
We play hard, but playing hard's not good enough sometimes. So we got to be much more proficient, much more precise in the way we operate.
What is wrong with the offense? 0 points is something wrong. Is something off?
There's a lot of things that obviously when you are averaging 6 points a game, you could easily say it's broken. But at the same time, we've got a lot of young guys out there. But then we've got to execute. We've got to cash in when those opportunities come.
A little reaction from the rookie quarterback Zach Wilson.
It's frustrating. You know, I just say lack of execution. You know, once again, I just say.
I mean, he's
you know,
got
we're all
guys
learning.
Open.
Yes. Some guys also didn't catch the ball.
Yeah.
Some throws not great. Some were missed.
Right. And he's got some guys open, and he can make better throws, and he's got to be quicker in some of his decisions. Like, you can't be throwing it high over the middle.
Right.
You wouldn't want to catch it high over the middle, would you?
I would not. No, I'd get broken. Here was Greg Van Roten. Is that his name?
Van Roten.
Guard. You tell me as a quarterback how you feel about this, Boomer.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to learn. This is the NFL. You got to get the ball out. You can't hold on to it and try and make a play and throw it deep downfield. So, and we got to protect him better. You know, it starts with us up front. So we got to get on the same page. I thought we were better today with our communication for the.
Yeah, better the communication. But, I mean, the fact that he's saying he's got to release the ball quicker.
I do not have a problem with that.
All good? Okay, here's Corey Davis going forward.
I mean, it's a grown man's league, and he's more than capable of handling it. Physically, mentally, emotionally, he can handle it.
Oh, we'll see if he can handle the Titans on Sunday. Some other notes from the NFL. Here, the Packers beat the Niners on Sunday Night Football 30-28. Mason Crosby, the 51-yarder to win it. Aaron Rodgers was outstanding, especially on the final drive. He had no timeouts to go. Hit Davante Adams a couple of times. Adams, by the way, 12 catches, 132 yards, and a touchdown. He seemed to be injured, took a headshot, came back into the game. How was he back out there so quickly?
Well, how I'm able to get through it is I'm different. So that's probably the main thing. I've dealt with a lot of stuff like that.
Very good scientific answer right there. He is different. Here was Crosby, just applause what Rodgers did.
What Aaron and that offense was able to do in 37 seconds, it does make it easy for me. I just go out there and do my job, and you know, it's been doing this a long time, so I'm still still excited every time those balls go through the upright.
It's amazing to me how some of these guys, you know, are shanking 30 yarders, and yet the precision they can kick from 50 and 60.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
Absolutely unbelievable.
I mean, the 266-yard field goals were attempted yesterday.
One made.
Yeah, one made, well, and the other turned it to a touchdown 68. The other way.
That was 68, that's
right. 68, yeah, wow.
And it came up just short. He might have been good from 66.
Maybe.
And that was the one that the Jaguars returned for a touchdown. And then tonight we'll wrap up the week in the NFL with the Cowboys and Eagles. Here is Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni says, this rivalry feels like college energy.
I just know how heated the rivalry is, and that it's the rivalry that feels to me like, since I've been in the NFL for the past 14 years, like this is the one that feels most like the college rivalries that you, and that's pretty special.
Well, Dak Prescott excited for a packed house at AT&T Stadium Cowboy home opener.
After COVID, what we all went through last year, to have them all back, yeah, it'll be exciting. I'll take that moment. I'll be thankful for it, but then flip them on right back again to the Eagles defense and what I have to do to win the game.
And we will have that game for you on The Fan tonight, coming up later at 8 p.m. To the Yankees, who had themselves a hell of a weekend up in Boston. They win Friday. They win Saturday. Cole was good. You get a grand slam along the way from Giancarlo Stanton. Last night, they're down in the late innings in the eighth. The Red Sox bring in Adam Ottavino to face Aaron Judge with two on and a one out.
And the pitch is cut on and drilled to left center field in the gap. It's a base hit. One hop off the left center field wall. Two runs will score. Judge goes to second with a double. It is a one-out, two-run double by Aaron Judge in the eighth inning. And the Yankees take a 4-3 lead.
A very fired-up John Sterling with the call on The Fan. Tack on a home run from Stanton and 6-3, the final score. Yanks beat the Sox, complete the sweep. Now have the top spot in the American League for that wild card. They've won six in a row. Here is Aaron Boone, thoughts of what he just saw in Beantown.
You know, just awesome games to be a part of here. You know, especially obviously when we come out on the winning side.
Of course, that's the best part. Here's Stanton. The home run last night, the grand slam we mentioned the other night, he is just getting big hit after big hit.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta be prepared. You gotta do your homework and just zone in on what you need to do.
Isn't it so frustrating though? Because it looks so easy for him sometimes,
and then he'll just go completely in a hole. But I mean, I have more respect for him now than I've ever had, especially after the whole Lindor Baez thing. But he never said a word when he was getting chewed out by his fan base for years.
Nothing.
He missed time. He was out. And he could have very easily just faded into oblivion like other guys with big contracts do. And he didn't. And now, look, he's carrying the team at the most important time, which is exactly why he was brought here.
Yeah. And, you know, you look, you see the power numbers are there. He's batting almost .280. I mean, it's been a little up and down, but it's been, for the most part, pretty good. Here's Aaron Judge dealing with his dislocated pinky when he slid into second.
You know, the biggest mistake was not going feet first. You know, I'm kicking myself for that. But, yeah, popped up, really didn't feel much. And then when I went to, you know, kind of check my batting gloves, I saw it was kind of out of place.
And he said he got some help putting it back into place, couldn't do it himself, and also believes it will not be a big deal. So you got a really big week for the Yankees to close out the regular season. You got three with Toronto on the road, and then you've got three at home with Tampa. And they're a game up on Boston for the top wild card spot, two up on Toronto, who are one behind Boston. I believe what do the Red Sox have? The Nationals and the Orioles, that sound right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what it is. The Nationals for sure.
I think they have the Nationals starting tomorrow, yeah, if I'm not mistaken. So a lot to keep an eye on in the American League East. And if it stands the way it is now, the Yankees would host the wild card game next week. So we will see the way things finish out. And also, Aroldis Chapman did get the save last night. Did walk a guy, but got the save. Chad Green, the win in relief. Brewers beat the Mets 8-4. Milwaukee clinches the NL Central. And a good thing they kept winning, because the Cardinals have won 16 straight games as they have dominated play here in September. They beat the Cubs on Sunday 4-2. Preseason hockey is underway. Rangers lost to the Islanders 4-0, and the U.S. beat Europe in the Ryder Cup, and they dominated that 19-9. As they win at Whistling Straits. Time now for Moment of the Day, brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it.
Money!
And G has an idea. Now, there was a crazy story with Kyrie Irving and his aunt. Irving apparently not vaccinated. Then there's some tie-in to what she was saying about a theory about the vaccine, and could it be some link to Satan? I don't know. I'll just leave it there. But she had an idea of how the Nets could convince Kyrie to get vaccinated.
When Sabrina throws a tantrum over something, you know, and she's small, doesn't understand a lot of things. Sometimes I fake a phone call to somebody, you know, whether it be my parents or Gina's mom. No, not you. I could use you, though. I'd be like, oh, you know, like Papa and Gaga are on the phone and, you know, they're upset that you're upset. And they said that they're not coming over unless you stop crying or something like that. So if I was Sean Marks, I would call Kyrie into the office and be, Kyrie, I got Satan on the phone here. He's telling me he's not interested in connecting the black people to the computer. He said, hold on, Satan. Hold on a second. What's that, Satan? You're not interested in connecting the black people to the computer? Is that right? Oh, so that's a lie. Kyrie, that was a lie. He's not connecting anybody. All right. Okay, you got to go. All right. So he's a very busy man. So there you go, Kyrie. We'll get the shot, huh? Now, what do you think?
As bizarre a story, a fitting thought.
You're the guy who sent me the article.
I was blown because I was blown. I couldn't believe what I was reading.
Yeah.
I figured, good morning, gents. Enjoy this.
Yeah, right. No, it was
blast.
Great.
Have a good time golfing today, Boom.
All right. Thanks, Jerry.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
We've been so focused on the Jets and Giants, the rest of the NFL, we've kind of ignored a little bit because I feel like that's all we're going to talk about. The rest of the year is the rest of the NFL because the Jets and Giants are not going to be interesting enough. Biggest story outside of New York football, is it that the Chiefs are 1-2 in your mind, Boomer?
I think the Chiefs are 1-2, and the fact that the Rams are 3-0 and they're playing great with Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford's doing everything that Sean McVay could have hoped him to do. And, you know, they beat the Bucs yesterday. The other, I think, big thing yesterday that kind of got under the radar just simply because I guess people expected them to win, but Josh Allen's back on track again. You know, he has offensive output that we expected to see the first 2 weeks that we didn't see.
Steamroll spot.
Right. You got four teams that were, you know, playoff teams last year that are in last place in their respective divisions this year, the Colts being one of them, the Seattle Seahawks being one of them. I'm trying to think of the other two teams, maybe the Chiefs. The Chiefs, I think, are one of them. And, don't know, maybe a couple other, one on the team. But I don't know. You know, it's early in this year. And the one thing that the Yankees have proven, and I think back to the beginning of September. The beginning of September is when they lost two games to the Baltimore Orioles. I believe it was like September 4th and September 5th. And then they lost. They got swept by Toronto four games. Toronto came in here and just beat them down. And then they went to the Mets for the 9-11 series. They lost 2-3 of the Mets. And then they started winning again. But what the point I'm making is that it was that run in there with Baltimore and Toronto and the Mets where it looked like the Yankee season was going by the wayside.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden they've come back with a vengeance. And it goes to show you that you can turn your season around. I mean, you can. Now you have to finish it, and they have to finish it over these next six games. And the Jets are not going to turn anything around. We know that because they're just too young. They're too green. They're green everywhere. They're green at backup quarterback, at offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, head coach, young players, mistakes, penalties, drop passes, you name it. They get an inopportune penalty when they're trying to kick a field goal, for God's sake. So they're a mess. You know, the Giants, you know, could they turn it around? It doesn't look like it right now. But I'm just saying that, you know, the Mets went one way. The Yankees came back and went the other way and fought off the negativity. And that's what the Giants have to do right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard comparison for me with the way that the two sports are. I mean, you got so much time in baseball and you could go on these runs. I mean, the Giants, the problem is that the softest part of their schedule just happened. And that's the biggest issue. I mean, the fact that you've got now coming up two road games at New Orleans and at Dallas, and then after that, you have to face the Rams, and this is no bye yet at this point, and then you're hosting the Panthers, who knows exactly who they are, but still, for crying out loud, they haven't lost a game.
Yeah, I don't know why you can't beat Dallas, though. I mean, New Orleans is going to be tough, but it's Jameis Winston. It's not a great quarterback.
Because they can't beat the Falcons, and they can't beat the Broncos, Washington. Washington, who they played so tough in week two, where you're thinking, oh, man, look at the Giants. Like, maybe there was something there and ended up losing. Got their asses handed to them yesterday.
Well, I wouldn't say they got their asses handed
to
them.
Yes, they did. They got blown out.
They lost. Who's that? Washington.
Washington did.
Yeah, on the road. Yeah, okay. But what I'm saying about the Giants, they're in every game. They have been in every game. And, you know, whether it be for spectacular play by Teddy Bridgewater or, you know, whatever the reasons why losing to Washington. I mean, you know, all the different things that have happened. They're in every game. The Jets don't have a chance.
No.
The Jets' offense has no chance. Now, they are lost. And I hate to say it, but it's the truth.
Who's the best quarterback coming out this year?
Good luck figuring that one out at this point.
There isn't one yet?
To me right now, there's no really clear-cut consensus as, you know, to who's going to be the number one pick and all as a quarterback is what I'm saying, not overall, but because I don't think it's going to be a quarterback overall this year. But,
oh, okay. It'll probably be by the end of it.
All I know is that the Giants are in games. They're boring. It's Melba Toast. They lose a game that they shouldn't have lost yesterday, and it looks bad. I know that. But I'm just, you know, I don't see why they can't beat Dallas. I don't see why they can't. Well, Carol, all these teams are going to be tough. There's no question. The next six games are going to be, and then they got seven games if you throw Tampa in there, and then they finally get the Philadelphia, Miami.
Do you think that the Jets can beat the Texans on the road in late November?
Depends on who their quarterback is.
Who, the Texans? Well, I don't think Deshaun Watson is going to be playing.
No, if it's Tyrod Taylor, I would say it would be a hell of a lot more difficult than it is if it's Davis Mills.
Okay, so I'll put that as a no. Do you think that the Jets could beat the Jaguars day after Christmas at MetLife?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So maybe they get a win. A nice little 1-16 tidy affair from the Jets this year. Awesome.
They'll win a game. We didn't expect them to go out and beat the Rams last year.
No, we didn't. What do you think the over-under on combined wins for the Jets and Giants is right now? That's a fair number. 4.5? Combined number?
I'll say 4.5, yes.
Wow.
With the Giants getting four of them.
Huh. Okay. And you just don't know if the Jets are going to be able to squeak one out.
I always want to, like, cover myself and just say, man, it is a long season and a lot of things can happen.
Yeah, I mean.
You know, we are in the first quarter of the season. and I know it has gone just absolutely abysmally for the Jets. It's bad for the Giants because they lost, and I'm not looking for moral victories, but they've been in these games to a certain extent.
Yeah, but they're all in the last three now. You know what I mean? With the meat part of the schedule coming up, it's just it's tough. They needed the one yesterday. They did. Even if they got yesterday's, it still would have been tough, and they didn't get it.
Denver's a team that did what they were supposed to do. They beat three teams whose combined records right now are 0-9.
Yeah.
Well, and they're part of the reason that those teams are 0-9.
They're not going to apologize for that. I mean,
no, of course not.
You know, great start for them. Yeah, I mean, I think that with the Giants, beginning of the year, I had them winning 10. I did.
But you thought they'd win at least two of these first three.
I thought they'd win all three. I said 3-0.
You know what's going to be interesting? Denver this week, big game on CBS. They play the Baltimore Ravens in Denver.
Yeah. I'm trying to formulate a final Giants record now. You said 4. I'll give them 5.
You'll give them 5. Okay, so
5-12.
Because they have no – there's doesn't feel like there's any kind of momentum or any sort of excitement or any sort of juice
right
around this team.
But that means that they'll go 5-9 the rest of the year, so at least give you a little bit better than 0-3.
Oh, heads are gonna, I'll tell you what, heads are going to roll. And unfortunately for people, you know, I think if I had to think towards the end of the season what this is going to look like and another losing season, it's on the watch of the general manager who, you know, took the gold jacket guy with number 2, you know, took Daniel Jones, tried to rebuild this offensive line, trying to rebuild the defense, spending a lot of money, and it's not transferring to win. So, unfortunately, the microscope will be squarely on Dave Gettleman.
Yeah, and if you missed it earlier, Blake Martinez, who was one of their best defensive players last year, is out for the year with a torn ACL to add to the mix. So I'm pretty sure it was a defensive captain, too.
Yes.
So that's another thing that's not great.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.